How are you, ladies and gents that have snuck on to Cherished Conversation? I'm excited to get in today with my friend and your friend, Pastor Stacey.
Hello, everyone.
To give some context here, I want to let you know that Pastor Stacey has been the overseer of our pastoral care ministry for quite some time, and you're excellent at it. And you have built an incredible team of people who are now carrying on that great legacy here at Awaken Church. But we've seen so many transformed lives.
Yeah.
And really, girls and guys, what I want to talk about today is how Jesus can transform a life and deal with even the deepest wounds of our soul. You know, I think sometimes the greatest wounds we have in life, Stace, aren't the physical ones, but the soul ones, because they hide so well.
So true.
And they can go untreated. And often they can be infectious and they can infect other people. So I wanted to talk to you today just about how someone would go about overcoming some of those deep soul wounds, those traumatic moments in life that may have stalled them.
Yeah, I love that, because I think many of us walk around life. I know it happened in my own life, where you walk around life and you don't know you have a blind spot.
Right.
You don't even know that you're living with a wound, because like you said, physical wounds you can see on the outside, but the soul wounds are on the inside.
Yes.
So people will come up if you've got a broken leg. What happened?
Right. Everybody wants to sign the cast.
But when you're crying on the inside.
Yeah. Nobody wants to touch that. Yeah.
Even but if you're crying out on the outside.
Right.
Maybe they stay away too.
Yeah.
So, I think it's, you know, something we're definitely seeing. It's so prevalent today.
Yes.
Where we're living in a society where there's so many wounds or traumas that have maybe gone undealt with.
Yeah.
And most of the time it's because we walk around unknowing that there actually was a real realness from whatever happened to us, our history.
It can feel normal to you, can't it? And that's the thing with a soul wound or even, you know, like a physical injury. Sometimes you get so used to your limp, you don't notice you have it till somebody points it out.
Yeah.
True for those issues of the soul that are undealt with, it feels normal to you to be depressed or sorrowful or anxious or down.
Yeah.
And so, and angry, maybe, bitter, toxic, this is your normal.
Yeah, I've seen over the years, you know, it's just, it's been extraordinary. You know, when you are just, you can see pain everywhere. And I think through church, especially, people walk in. And in my experience, helping people through, I think the world has helped us identify there's a problem.
Yeah.
We're all, we're all triggered, are we not?
Right.
There's a trigger or we see something or we hear something or there's a memory of history, a memory of a past pain.
Yeah.
And I think the world has done a really good job of saying, let's talk about it.
Right. There's no end to the conversations that are happening everywhere. We're talking about the pain. We're talking about the struggle. We're talking about the symptoms. But don't you feel it's time to get to the root issue?
Yeah. And I think that's the biggest thing is the world stops at point one.
Right.
We recognize something has happened. Life isn't as it should be.
Right.
But then they leave it there. But what I love about God and what I love about the church is God never leaves us like that.
Right.
He never
Can you say that one more time?
God never leaves us like
that. So the will of God is that we don't just talk about our pain and our struggle as much as that matters and you need to give voice to what happened. There's always an end game.
There's a solution. There's a healing. There's a breakthrough. God, I feel like, and especially in my own life, He brings up a memory or a past, you know, trauma that we might not have ever thought of or we walk right into. He brings it up so that we can actually deal with it.
Right.
I remember talking to a counselor and a psychologist, and he said, what happens often is that when pain surfaces, pain should be a trigger. It should be an identifier. Something's wrong.
Right. Yeah.
Something's happened.
Yes.
And I think that we as humans, either we do one of two things. We stuff it down and pretend it didn't happen.
Wow.
Or it's so hurtful or horrible or whatever that we just try to move forward without dealing with that history. So we bury it.
We numb. We'll take like some kind of painkiller, soul painkiller, whatever that may be, to hide it.
And we bury our feelings alive. They're alive. Those feelings are going to come out at some point. And if we don't bring it from darkness to light, if we don't actually talk about it and then deal with it, then generally those things come out at the wrong time.
Right.
Never comes out at the right time.
All of a sudden,
you're bursting into tears or, you know, you don't know why you're acting the way you are. And it's because the history or the pain has just been left aside. But the counselor was telling me what you have to do is when pain surfaces, you actually take a moment.
Yeah.
And you actually have to look at that pain. Where does that pain lead you?
Right.
there's a source, there's a wound, there's a pain, there's a trauma, there's something that happened. So what is it?
Yeah.
And that's the starting point.
Yes.
To then begin to work things out.
I love that. So one of the greatest indicators of the fact that you may be carrying an old soul wound mm-hmm. that has not been reconciled
yeah.
is that you're experiencing pain, and that pain may have outbursts in such a way where you're overly emotional, overly angry, and maybe there's a bitterness in your soul, how you're dealing with relationships or yeah. some dysfunctions.
Well, and it goes either way. So either you're burying it and they come out at the wrong time, or on the flip side, it's coming out, you know, everywhere.
Yeah.
So, and here's the thing, either it comes out everywhere, or the other one is you go into extreme solitude.
Wow.
So you withdraw because of pain.
Yes.
Because of a real pain. So it's kind of the two ends of the pendulum. Either
yeah.
we withdraw, which is never good for anyone, let's
yeah.
be honest. Weird
yeah.
things
no.
happen when you're left
wow.
alone.
Has COVID not taught us that?
Oh my goodness. We've got a family member I can't even begin to describe. And I love my family and love my friends, but it's been amazing. We just recently re-encountered this family member, and they have just been left in solitude for so many years, chosen to, withdrawn, and it's been just, you know, astounding to see what can happen to someone when we actually recluse. It can be really
well
difficult.
I have a theory. It's called the serial killer theory. Every serial killer you hear about, they say to them, they say about them, well, they were a loner, kept to themselves mostly.
Yeah.
That should be a sign.
Let's not do that.
Let's not
become serial killers, people.
That's right. We weren't meant to do life alone.
No, we were not.
One of the first things God said, it is not good for man to be alone. And this COVID lockdown has proven that beyond any shadow of a doubt. Okay, so most of us, none of us escape life without having some level of trauma,
yeah.
whether it's something that happens to us or around us.
Yeah.
And usually this is a childhood thing or something when we're young, because the enemy is so strategic about imprinting us
yeah.
in our youth with some kind of traumatic event, so we'll drag it into our future and maybe repeat a cycle.
Yeah.
So could you share with us anything just from your own life, maybe
yeah.
an experience you went through, and then how you found healing? Because you're a very rational, reasonable, wise, joyful, whole person, as much as anybody can be. And like I said last week, Pastor Stacy is the female version of King Solomon, one I go to many, many times throughout every week for just insight and wisdom. She's amazing. So could you share with us?
Yeah, I think, you know, in my own life, I can think back to, and I kind of grew up in a family that's like the Brady Bunch, honestly.
Yeah. Right.
You know, pastor's kid.
And I've met her mom and dad and her brothers and sisters, and I can attest to that.
Yeah, so come from a really beautiful family, really great family. And I think that's the thing. Whether
yeah.
you come through the best family on planet Earth or the most dysfunctional family
right.
on the planet, we all have ish.
Yeah.
And so I think for me, really, I had grown up in a wonderful environment, but I had had a kind of a traumatic experience when I was about 16 years old.
Yes.
But the thing is, I never even realized, it didn't even go on the radar of, this is traumatic and I need to deal with some stuff.
Right.
It was just normal life. We,
yes.
You know, growing up and have a sister who had a baby and was her very first baby. And she was actually living in our home had the baby, and you know, it was really, whenever there's a baby born, it's time for celebration.
Yeah.
You know,
beautiful.
Wounds of the past, like it kind of just glosses everything over.
Yes.
And so it was actually a really beautiful time in our family. She has her first child. But I'll never forget, you know, on one of the nights where the baby just suddenly passes away, and it was sudden infant death syndrome, SIDS. And I just can remember that altering. You know, my life. And the big thing about it was, I just remember lying on my bed at night just going, oh, God, I never want to feel this pain again. I never want to feel this pain again. You know, that child like lives in your house. It's like,
yeah,
my sister
like
and I are 11
baby.
Months apart. It was like my baby
right.
as it was her baby.
Right.
And and so, you know, but off I went on life. So I, you know, decided from that point to go to boarding school, a Christian boarding school, and then I went
You decided to go to boarding school. That
yeah.
is hilarious.
Some, you know, independent decisions here of I decided I
wow.
actually had a big meeting with my parents where I shared with them my plan of sending myself to boarding school. So that was fun. Right. But I wound up doing that, and then at 18 years old, moving to the U.S. So, you know, I kind of led a bit of an independent life without even realizing it.
Right.
Beautiful, loving family, beautiful, loving friends.
Yeah, great church.
But a little bit of a thread of not truly opening up my heart to the fullest.
Wow.
And one day, here actually at Awaken Church, we brought through one of the most beautiful ministers, Pastor Mike Connell. And this is like
we love him.
Eons ago, it's years ago, and it was the first Freedom Conference we've ever had.
Yeah.
And by freedom, this is just liberation, freedom, awesome, amazing. Yeah. I'm in a wonderful Christian community. I'm in a wonderful church. I'm going about life as usual, and I think that's it. Life seemed pretty good. It's not like I was living some tragic life.
Right.
Lonely all the time, but just never really opened up my whole heart.
Right.
And so we go through this Freedom Conference, and I can remember I was so pumped, you know, just helping out.
Yes. So you were praying for people. You were ministering. Oh. I remember that.
And then by the end of the conference, I remember thinking, oh, my goodness, I haven't gotten prayer myself.
Right.
And so I am on the front row with Pastor Mike Connell. I go, hey, whatever your next altar call is, I'm going up. I'm going to go up. And he starts chuckling. And he's like a grandfather in the faith.
Yeah.
And so he's kind of chuckling. He's like, oh, Stacy, the last altar call, do you know what that's on? And I'm like, what? He's like, it's on sexual sin. I'm like, really? Great. Single pastor forward.
Yeah.
The funniest. But anyways, I go forward regardless, because when you want to get free, you get free. It doesn't matter the people or the circumstances.
I like that attitude.
So I wind up going forward, and I'll never forget Pastor Mike Connell praying for me, and he prayed, and he said, I break the lie that you will never need anyone.
Wow.
Shocking.
And was that shocking to you when you heard that? Because you're like, well, I've got friends, family, huge community.
Yeah, I was not like a little good sheep with a pastor. I literally was like, couldn't even understand what he was talking about.
Right.
So these are very real moments. So I remember thinking, you're awesome, you're a minister, I should relate to that, but I don't understand anything. I have a huge world, I have tons of friends.
Right.
What do you mean I don't need anyone? And so afterwards, Pastor Mike came up to me and said, how you doing? I said, yeah, you know what, I really don't get what you were talking about. Real honest. I am Italian and Jewish, so it does come out most of my life.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. And he had to literally have a word of knowledge.
Wow.
To go back, and he said, what happened to you when you were 16?
Wow.
And I had to begin to recall my history, and then I'm like, nothing, life was good.
Yeah.
Like, I had so not really...
Yes, processed it.
...processed what had happened that I just went on with life. And he just said, something happened, and you closed your heart, and the enemy came in, because the enemy loves to amen any vulnerabilities.
Right.
That we have, or, you know, inner vows that we make.
Yes.
The enemy loves to come in and just amen that. And so, you know, if I remember lying on my bed going, I'll never want to need anyone. I never want to love anyone like this.
Wow.
And right there is the inception of a lie.
Wow.
That the devil amen and said, okay, I can amen that. And so off I went on life. And I live life, when I look back, you know, if you look at your life as 100%, it probably was, you know, like a 50% life, you know?
Yeah.
It was full, there was life, but there was also things missing. And from that point forward, I really went on a journey of true healing. And I think that's the thing. Blind spots are just that, they're blind.
Yeah.
We don't know that we have them. And it took being in an environment of health.
Right.
Having someone come alongside and see something that I didn't see in myself.
Yes.
Bring it forward. And then God is so beautiful. It's at the perfect timing with a beautiful opportunity to heal.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about Jesus.
Right.
He did not bring up a trauma. He did not bring up my pain.
Yeah.
To then not have
deal
me
with
deal with it and heal from it.
Right.
And break through entirely.
Yes.
And so now, after really going through that process of healing, which is really just encounters with Jesus.
Yeah.
Learning that the pendulum of feelings again, and the spectrum of feelings, and you know, opening up with friends about these things that do happen, and then inviting Jesus in to heal. You know, I look back and I'm like, oh my gosh, I live now in a level of freedom.
Yeah.
I live life with, and those that know me,
yes,
with a full heart.
100%.
Everything I put my heart into, I'm 100%. Yeah. I don't know how to do middle ground anymore.
Right.
And I thank God for that.
Right. And you have the full spectrum of feelings. Like,
yeah,
you can simultaneously go from strong Jewish Italian leader to beautiful Jewish Italian feeler.
Yes.
And, you know, it. Before maybe you were saying that those, that feeling part of you had been numbed because you'd made that inner vow.
Yeah, I couldn't even remember the last time I cried when,
wow,
when that moment happened with my Kano.
Wow. So that's a sign maybe for people watching today, if you're getting to the point where you actually can't feel anymore.
And that's where I had lived to a level. It's just feelings to me were just like not necessities. I just thought, feeling too hard, off you go, living,
wow,
my life.
Wow.
Not realizing that over time, if you don't deal with those feelings, you create a wall in your heart and the very things that you desire.
So tell me this, Stace. I think a lot of people are feeling right now that you're reading their mail. What is step one in layman's? If someone listening to this goes, oh my gosh, I am her and I have some issues that I'm feeling rise up and I'm remembering this thing that happened or this encounter, what would you say is step one?
I think step one is first to stand before Jesus. Go wherever is the most comfortable to you.
Right.
Go into your room, close the door, and begin to pray and ask God to reveal to you, where did that pain first start? Because
mm-hmm.
we live in the symptoms of pain a lot of time.
Right.
But God will actually bring us back to the source so that we heal from the first point of pain.
Yes.
And so I think track down, just ask God, God, help me to remember what was the first time I felt that feeling.
Wow.
What is it that actually happened to
yes.
make me feel this pain? And I would say, God is so beautiful. He will illuminate it to you. He
yes.
will share it with you.
Yes.
And it's often something we never thought.
Wow.
Because if we thought we knew it, we would have dealt with it. Come on.
Wow. Yeah.
We would.
Yeah.
But oftentimes it's this other memory or this other thing. And then it's like, wait, could that be? And then God will begin to remind you. And so you just start from that place. So I think the first place is to admit that there is pain or that you're not living a full level of peace. So something had to happen,
right,
big or small.
Yeah.
And just get before God and begin to track down that pain. I would say number two, you have to invite a voice of wisdom in.
Okay, good. Because a lot of people stay stuck at number one. Once they acknowledge,
yeah,
they end up just rehearsing their pain and it actually gets you nowhere.
Oh,
so
you can lose friends that way.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. It's a dysfunctional way to live.
Yeah.
So it's taking the step from step one of acknowledgement to step two of progress, what does that look like?
I would say number two, you invite a voice of wisdom in.
Right.
So this is a Christian,
yeah,
mature Christian,
right,
that can handle this. This isn't, I talk about this with 10 people because that just waters it down.
Right.
And your pain is actually important.
Yes.
Needs to be dealt
yes.
with properly.
Yes.
So go to a person that you feel you can open up to,
right,
that is a Christian that can lead you beyond where you have been.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you find yourself in and should find ourselves in a Christian community, it's the best place to start is within a church. Get with
yeah.
a leader, get with,
yeah,
and if you don't have that and you're like, I don't even go to a church or I don't have any friends in church, then, you know, there's Christian counselors as well.
Yeah, right.
And we need to get free any way we can get free. And,
mm-hmm.
And God's very into helping us heal. So I would say first we get with God, we recognize that there is a pain. Then we invite wisdom, good
yes.
godly counsel, good mm-hmm. godly wisdom in.
Yes.
Because there typically then tends to be a bit of a plan. What are
right.
going to be the steps? And oftentimes you need somebody else to help you through what that can look like. Do I need to set a boundary? Do I not need to set a boundary?
Right.
Do I need to talk about this with so-and-so? Do I need to bring this to the police?
Yeah,
like,
right, right.
what are
wow.
the very real things that
yeah.
we need to walk through? And then I would say, for me, we have to practice doing what we weren't comfortable with before.
Yeah.
And that would be part of the plan that, you know, somebody of wisdom can sit down with and God can help walk us through.
What did that look like for you?
For me, that was because I had so lived from a place where I stuffed down pain
yeah.
that I had to, whenever I would so much as get a little like, that
yeah.
hurt.
Yeah.
My normal previous self would have just been like, oh, well,
shake it off. Right.
Taylor
right.
Swift, come on. And
exactly.
I would have just shook it off and kept going, not
yeah.
realizing that was actually holding me back. So instead, I made a decision. Whenever I felt a little pinch or a little trigger or a little something, oh, that's off, or gosh, the way that person yeah. said that to me, that actually hurt. Mm-hmm. I had to admit that. And so what I would do is I would literally, whether it was just in the moment, go, oh, I would recognize, oh, that did hurt.
Yeah.
Oh, that hurt. God, would you come in and heal me from what just happened? Would you bring in a word that's different to what the word that was just spoken? Or if it wasn't appropriate, because life is happening, you're in your daily life, you're working, you get pinched, not appropriate just to stop, pray to Jesus.
Right.
You got to keep working, right? You got a 9-to-5, whatever it is. And so what I did was I just made a point in my calendar that I can't go 24 hours without dealing with this. I literally made an appointment with myself and Jesus.
Wow.
And so I would go, you know what? That hurt. I'm going to deal with that later.
I actually like that, Stace, because in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't get to experience the comfort that the Lord brings because they haven't allowed themselves to grieve or mourn.
Yes.
And it's such an important part of healing.
Yes.
And actually, a lot of the Indigenous cultures that I've been exposed to, the Aboriginals in Australia, the Maori people in New Zealand, they would have at every death or loss, they would have a time of mourning where they would just let it all out.
Yeah.
And I actually think it's quite cathartic. Yes. And something sometimes in our Western culture that we can dismiss.
Yes.
Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted.
And there's no better comforter than Jesus himself.
Amen.
So you bring it before God. And so I would just make sure that because of my personality, because of my history, I couldn't let it go another day.
Right.
Because days would pass and weeks would pass and then it would go undealt with.
Right.
So I just made a decision. I'll make an appointment with myself, a little reminder that I need to get before God and deal with what actually happened. And so what it did was it allowed me to feel.
Yeah.
And I would feel and then I would invite God in and I'd be able to let it go. A lot of these little pinches, there's no need for another conversation with another human.
Right.
It's just
you and the Holy Ghost working it out together. It's like, that hurt, Lord, I release this to you. I feel it.
Yeah.
And I release it.
And then, and God, he comes in.
Yeah.
He heals. That's what's so miraculous about Jesus.
Right.
Is there is true healing. You feel good after. Your joy is back.
So it's not just a venting. It's productive. It takes you somewhere.
Yeah.
So once we've acknowledged it, we've allowed ourselves to mourn, we're talking with a trusted Christian counselor, pastor, friend who helps us move forward, what's next?
I would say we release it so that we can actually live free.
Right.
This is the beauty of Jesus, and this is the beauty of what I realized. Once we deal properly with that pain, we talk about it, we understand it, then there comes a point where you invite God back in and you release that history.
Yeah.
God is a really good judge. It doesn't mean that what happened to you was right.
Right.
A child's life, leaving the earth just like that, traumatic.
Yes.
I don't get it. And, I still don't understand why.
Not
okay. And so it doesn't mean that we have to come into a full understanding of the why behind the pain.
Yes.
It was real. It happened. On this side of eternity, I may find out why, but I may not. And either way with me, I decided that's okay. Yeah. It's in God's hands.
Yes.
Let God be a really good judge.
Amen.
Let God vindicate what needs to be vindicated so that I can live free.
Right.
So that I can live at peace. So I do really want to mention that things that have happened to us, by letting it go doesn't mean it was right or wrong.
Right.
It just means that we get our peace back.
Well, in releasing it to God, we're not getting rid of it. We're
releasing
handing
it.
Exactly, handing it on to one who is equipped to carry it.
Yeah, the Bible says in 2 Peter, I believe, cast your cares upon God, for he so cares for you.
Yeah.
I love that. I can cast every concern, every stress, every care into his most capable hands.
Right.
And he's built to carry that.
Yeah.
He knows what to do with it.
Yeah.
And in fact, he died that we would be completely set free.
Amen.
And so when I see people, especially now having lived out this freedom, just repeating the same trauma, talking about the same thing, not living free, then I'm like, you haven't experienced a true healing.
Right.
Because true healing means you can release it into God's hands and then you can live out your freedom. And you only reference your history or your pain to help someone else heal.
Wow.
So
it's not coming from a place of bitterness. It's coming from a place of, here's what God did for me and he can do it for you too.
Yeah. I think the Bible says, like, we're truly free, you know, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony.
Yeah.
And you know that you are free when you can sit at a table like this in front of complete strangers and share a part of your life that doesn't bring you back into the depths of the pain because you've actually healed from it.
Right.
And now you help others heal.
So the memory's there, but not the sting.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's true freedom. So I think we recognize that we invite wisdom in, we have encounters with God, we do things that are uncomfortable, that wasn't our previous norm, we release it to Jesus, and then we help others through it.
Yes.
Because those that have been through it, you pick up really quick with other people that have had trauma. So how funny that I find myself in pastoral care for how many years?
Yeah.
You know, and so I was able to help so many different people free, even though I didn't live out the same kind of pain they did.
Yeah.
And all we have to have is one experience of pain to understand one true experience of freedom to then help bring freedom to other people.
So a traumatic experience need not be a life sentence for people.
Absolutely.
It's
not.
Something that they can work through, deal with the Lord and grow through and then live free on the other side.
Yeah, and that's really good news for people.
It is.
Because I remember I had a friend who, honestly, anything bad that could happen to a person had happened to her. She's sharing her story with me, and I am in like shock and awe. Doesn't look like it on my face because I've been pastor for a lot of years. So I was just smiling.
So you have mastered the poker face, I'm sure.
So inside, I'm thinking, gosh, everything that has happened to you. Like, and I remember I befriended her, and probably the first year of our friendship, it was just her sharing her stories and her crying, her grieving, and rightfully so, through her history.
Sure.
But she was processing with me, and we were inviting the Holy Spirit in.
Beautiful.
And then I'll never forget one day, we were sitting on her big purple couch.
Love it.
And she said to me, "Stacy, how long is it going to take?
Wow.
How long is it going to take until I can just be at peace so that I can just be free? Mm. There's so many voices in my head." And I began to realize there was a lot of voices that were not of God that were in her head.
Wow.
That she had experienced so much trauma, there was so much demonic activity, there were so many curse words and things that had been told to her, and she was living in complete and total mess. And I just remember her staring at me going, "How long?"
Yeah.
And, you know, thank God for God. And so I'm like, "Jesus, how long?"
How
does this go? And I just remember just straight looking at her, and through the Holy Spirit, I remember, and I just said, "It can stop in a moment.
Wow.
We can take care of this right now.
Wow.
Your peace can be restored to you."
Amen.
And we sat there that day and we prayed and we invited God in. And as God came in, the other voices left.
Amen.
And she was in a sound mind and sound peace. She had a journey to walk through, but true freedom happened that day.
Amen. And we know God can do that because of the story of the demoniac in the Gadarenes, that Jesus came and delivered immediately, and he was seated and clothed and in his right mind. Now, in closing, we're about to end up. I want you to pray for people, but I want to ask you this question. If people are listening today and they're like, "Wow, I guess I had some trauma in my background, but I don't feel anything yet," should they go searching or should they wait for the Lord to say, "Now is the time"? For you, you weren't looking for it, and it was basically Jesus came alongside through Mike Connell and said, "It's time now, Stace, for us to deal with this." Should people go on a search, or should they wait for that moment to happen to them?
I think that for people, I think whenever anything is being stolen from you, you want to stand before God. And so if there's a level that's of unrest, not peace, those things, then it's time to stand before God. But that is very different than running around investigating every fear.
Right.
That's gonna lead you to a really bad place. We're never to focus on our fears. We're never to focus on darkness. We focus on God. We focus on the light of heaven.
Amen.
So I wouldn't say do a deep dive search and discover every bad thing. I got spanked when I was a child.
Right.
We all did, people.
Right.
If you grew up in the era that we did.
Me.
But there's always something.
Yeah.
And so I think don't go around turning over rocks, finding the darkness.
Good.
That's not
Good.
What we're doing
Good.
Here.
I like hearing that.
But instead,
yes.
I would say all of us at any point in time can take an assessment of ourselves.
Right.
What's a good, real assessment of how am I feeling today? Am I living my life to the fullest?
Yeah.
Am I living in freedom? Do I love God and do I love people?
Yeah.
A good telling sign is if you're not loving people, there's probably something about yourself that you don't love.
Sure.
That you got to deal with. So I would say do instead an assessment of how am I doing, and then if unrest, if not peace, if those things start to come up, if tears begin to surface, then that's a good sign that something needs to be dealt with. And so take a moment, stand before God, and invite him in. "God, what are the things that I need to deal with?"
Yeah.
And God's beautiful. He doesn't give us 20.
Right.
Yeah, it's one thing. And so he'll share one thing, and that might lead us to 20 other things that get healed along the way.
Sure.
But he really, you generally will isolate it to something that we can begin to start our journey of healing.
I love that. And I agree. And I think God is so beautiful, and he knows the, you know, there are a lot of things that we can walk through our teenage years, 20s, sometimes even 30s, and you're oblivious, but then all of a sudden he'll say, now's the time.
Yeah.
Let's take care of some business. Yeah. And it's beautiful. And I love that you qualified this entire thing with that thought at the end. But would you pray for everybody? I know that maybe you're watching, listening today, and you are feeling a little bit triggered or pricked, like, oh, wow, this really spoke to me today. Well, we're going to pray for you as you go on that journey with God. But I want you to know that your good shepherd will always lead you beside still waters and to soul restoration. And isn't that a beautiful thing?
Yeah.
So we know the end game is a restored soul. God just doesn't want to save you spiritually, save your soul from hell. He doesn't want to just heal your physical body, but your soul wins too.
Yes. All right, well, let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. God, oh God, Lord, I just thank you for every listener here today.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, I thank you that you drew them to be able to even listen to this today because you had healing in mind for them, Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, you had freedom ready to restore and set every captive free.
Yes.
So God, I thank you that we do not have to be captives to our history.
Amen.
We do not need to be held captive to our past or present pains, but you have given us a life and a purpose beyond those things. So Lord, I thank you right now for liberation to be able to come to people. Lord, as people are setting their hearts in front of you, as they are opening up their lives to you, Lord, I thank you that you are a God that speaks. Lord, that your voice is strong within us, oh Father. Lord, I thank you right now for illuminating to each and every one of us anything that we might need to deal with, anything that has held us back for the most beautiful future that you destined for us, that you placed on the inside of us, God, even before we were born, God. You knew us, God. You created us with a destiny and with a purpose to live out our fullest life, full of peace and full of joy. So God, right now, I thank you for every person. And if there's any fears or pains that have begun to risen up, we just break off any work of the enemy
thank
in the
you,
name
Lord.
Of Jesus.
Jesus.
We declare right now health and wholeness to each and every person, that there is no dart of the enemy that will be able to take out what is rightfully theirs, oh God. So Lord, I thank you for freedom. I thank you for liberation. I thank you for peace that surpasses understanding. And I thank you for people that are so willing to open up themselves to you, knowing that in doing that, they are setting their, that you are setting their lives completely and totally free. So Lord, I thank you for doing what only you can do, the miraculous in our lives. I speak healing anointing right now. Salve to the wounds right now in the name of Jesus. I literally see people with hearts that are like wounds that are gaping wounds.
Wow.
And you've been crying out and you've been praying that there would be a word, that there would be a way out. And I want you to know today that there is in Jesus, that Jesus is the anointing oil. He will put that wound back together. He will heal it. And Lord, I just thank you right now that you are coming in and you are ministering healing into those deep areas of wounds and pains that possibly have never even been talked about before. But God, I thank you, Father, that you have full healing, full restoration, full wholeness for every single person. And we thank you that we will cheer and that we will live out, Lord, our testimonies, that we will talk about these things in freedom with you, Jesus. So Lord, we thank you for these things. We thank you for these most beautiful people. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen. Well, God bless you, beautiful, cherished ladies and sneaky men. We hope that this bless you. I know it did. I don't even need to hope. I know that it did. And I want to encourage you, pull your church family and pull your pastors, your leaders, your connect leaders. If you're part of Awakened Church, we want to go on this journey with you. If you're part of another church, then make sure you're including people in this process with you for true healing and restoration. We love you, and we'll see you next week, 10:30, for another Cherished Conversation. Have a great day.